Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Last week, we talked about how God is raising a kingdom within a nation. If there is a kingdom, that means there also is a king. Now, in America, there have been no king's protest rallies against our president. These rallies are politically motivated. However, the spiritual ramifications are quite severe. First of all, God is, by right of being creator, the king of the universe. Psalm 24:1 verifies this, saying that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 103:19 also says, God's kingdom rules over all. Consider how God has appointed Jesus the king over the kingdom that he is raising in the earth, even in America. The battle lines have been drawn, and mankind cannot win against Almighty God. As Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in the human heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
The word tells us in Proverbs, the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he can turn it either way he wants. Who has the hand of God? The church. So if we turn against somebody, and that, I saw it so clearly, because it was a group of us prophets who were assigned to Obama. In fact, we had hoped to have been even in the White House praying for him. But what happened was, when the church turned, his heart turned cold. It's like, oh my God. I mean, he spoke as though the oracles of God, he could quote scripture. Not anymore. His heart was turned. So regardless of how these people start, I mean, you can have a Cyrus today and a Nebuchadnezzar tomorrow. I mean, we can't get caught up in men because they have an assignment like we do.
Here is this week's message.
Only fear the Lord. He's saying this is how we're supposed to be with the leadership over a nation. And serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. That was a warning the Lord gave. And that's a warning that still stands to this day. That no matter who is over us, our job first and foremost as a body of Christ is to obey the commandments of the Lord. Obey him first and foremost. Because only then will things go well for us. So if things aren't going well, it's because we're not listening. We're not obeying. And if you read the whole Old Testament, you see the story of what happened with ancient Jews. You see whatever kind of leader had, the leader turned them against God. Because they were in rebellion. The whole crew was in rebellion. That's why they went into Babylonian captivity. That's how Cyrus got into the picture. But let me talk a little bit about what the Lord said about Cyrus, how we view Cyrus. Because he said people were saying that Trump is a Cyrus. Perhaps he might be. However, Cyrus was an unbeliever. Cyrus was a dictator, but he was a great leader who conquered quite a bit of the world. But he was not a believer, but he had an ear to hear God, and God used him. So he was one responsible for making the first decree for the people of God to go back and use and rebuild the temple. Now, Ezra writes about him. Jeremiah writes about him. He's written about. Isaiah wrote about him. Isaiah prophesied. Let me go there. Isaiah prophesied about Cyrus, but he put it in a perspective. And I do want to read this to you. This is Isaiah 44. And this is God talking about to his people through the prophet. And he's describing who he is. He says, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formeth thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself, by myself, that frustrates the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards and maketh their knowledge foolishness. That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that says to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. Now he's describing who he is. And he says, finally, that says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built. And to the temple, the foundations shall be laid. Then you go into the first part of Isaiah 45, and he says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Remember, Cyrus is an unbeliever, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings and open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Okay, he's talking to an unbeliever. God can use anybody who has a heart to hear him, who has a heart to obey him, and who will give him the glory. And so he's talking to Cyrus, an unbelieving king, who God chose because of his heart. And Ezra writes about how God stirred up Cyrus. And Cyrus made a decree. He was the first one that made a decree that the temple should be rebuilt. In fact, let me run to Ezra real quick, because I think it's important for you to know where this came from and put it in a perspective of what is God really saying? Because if you look at the story of what happened with Cyrus, it wasn't what people are trying to do with our presidency today. Okay, Ezra chapter 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. This is a king who wrote this. This is a king who wrote this. And it's elsewhere as well. He actually says that God gave him. He sees, and Cyrus was a great conqueror. He's a mighty leader. But he gave glory to God. And because he gave God the glory for having given him the nations, God could use him. He wasn't saved. He wasn't a Jew. He just knew that his source came from God. And so when we try to make men and women God over us, you have to understand that God can use people if the people of God are praying. Now, what's amazing about this whole story of Cyrus is he made the initial decree. But the enemy stirred up the enemies against the people rebuilding. And so from the time of Cyrus until Darius, they had trouble. They couldn't get the work done. Why? Because the enemy was fighting. So the fact that we're looking at a man and calling him as Cyrus, not understanding, the work of the temple wasn't done during Cyrus's time. He started it, but Darius made a decree. And after him, Artaxerxes made a decree. And even all the way up to the time of Esther and Artaxerxes' son was still, they're still working on getting the temple done. So it took decades for this work to be done. So to put focus on a Cyrus, it's just the beginning. We have to understand that the work wasn't completed during Cyrus's time. So the emphasis on Cyrus is just to open the door. The person who's going to open the door so that we can do the work of the Lord. And the Lord said that's his purpose of creating Cyruses throughout our generations. Because we've had more than one Cyrus. In fact, I'm going to tell you one people probably don't want to hear. But as a prophet of God, an apostle of God, my assignment is to the governments of the world. So the Lord will have me speak to and through the word of God to the leaders over nations. That's what I do. That's what I write about. I write about kings. I write about nations. And that's what he has given me, because that's the voice he has given me. But they talk about the Donald Trump being a Cyrus. Well, let me tell you, Obama was too. I know that in my heart of hearts of hearts, he was a Cyrus. And I remember at the time that the prophets who did write about it were told to shut up. The church didn't want to hear that. We didn't want a black president. We didn't want him to be the leader that's going to turn the church back. And because of it, Obama's heart turned and he became a Saul. He turned against the church. He turned against God. Why? Because he thought that he was doing the will of God, but yet the people of God were not in alignment. And see, that's the problem we have. And we even have it today. The people of God are off on another thing. You want a king. No. We have a king. His name is Jesus. Our work has been assigned to us. So regardless who's in government over us, we have work to do. And our job is, if we obey God, then God can do what he needs to do through the leaders. That's why the word tells us in Proverbs, the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And he can turn it either way he wants. Who has the hand of God? The church. So if we turn against somebody, and that, I saw it so clearly, because it was a group of us prophets who were assigned to Obama. In fact, we have hoped to have been even in the White House praying for him. But what happened was, when the church turned, his heart turned cold. And it's like, oh my God. I mean, he spoke as though the oracles of God, he could quote scripture. Not anymore. His heart was turned. So regardless of how these people start, I mean, you could have a Cyrus today and a Nebuchadnezzar tomorrow. I mean, we can't get caught up in men because they have an assignment like we do. So we are called, they are called. We can accept the assignment if we want, and they can accept the assignment if they want. But if they don't accept the assignment, we still have an assignment we have to fulfill. So it don't put them on a pedestal, because nowhere in the Bible, study the kings. Study the kings. There were many of them who they were evil. They led the people to go against God. We saw that. We saw that recently. And why did it happen? It happened because we missed our visitation when he gave us the first Cyrus. And Obama, racism came up, so we couldn't do anything. So then the church was at our turmoil. Churches were splitting. People were upset over racism. It's crazy. And because of it, we missed our visitation. And I truly believe that's why we got the Biden White House, because he was not part of God's plan. But because of that, he came in. And what happened? We have perverted laws. All this stuff is twisted now that we have to face. But it's because the church was not in the right place. We were not praying. We weren't following God. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. When we, the people of God, will turn our hearts to God and obey God, he can heal our land. He can prosper our land. But if we're into politics, that's not our place. Our place is the kingdom of God. Our place is to follow our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with the Lord, when he gave me this message, is to put you back where we need to be as far as our mindset is concerned. Sure, you do your earthly duty and vote, whatever. But you don't focus on that. Your life is not determined by who's in the White House. Your life is determined by how you receive Jesus Christ and what he did. Because he's trying to do things in the earth. He wants us to demonstrate in the earth. But if we're so busy following after man, how you gonna follow God? It's either one or the other, not both. And so he had me to bring this message up about this. He talked about the perversion and everything that came center stage. He said, because the church is out of order.
The Lord is trying to get his people back in order, his kingdom order, because there are many Americans, including Christians, who put their trust in whomever is in that White House. They want a man to rule over them. This was never God's plan. God chose us who are saved to be his representatives in the earth. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." What that means, beloved, is we are to be reigning in Jesus' stead in the earth. The Bible says repeatedly that we are kings and priests unto our God. We are kings under Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings. We who name the name of Jesus Christ are being sent out into the world to rule and reign in his name. Sure, they're earthly leaders, but they cannot complete their assignment unless we do our part, both in prayer and obedience to God. When we uphold our kingly authority in this earth, then God by his Spirit can turn the heart of a king over a nation, no matter who it is. So get ready. The Lord has given us a preview of what to expect in 2026. As he says, it will be a year of turbulence, more turbulence as resistance grows. They cannot win. For this is not a man nor a political party they resist. Those who resist those whom I have sent resist me, says God. There you have it. God is sending his people into the world to be the earthly kings to rule in his stead. And there will be resistance, but they cannot win. The King of the Universe has spoken. If you've enjoyed this episode, join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews, live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe both to this podcast channel and our YouTube channel as well, so you don't miss out on what God is doing in these last days. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.